Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks says the Replicator project will, quote, leverage platforms that are small, smart, cheap, and many. Breaking Defense reports the Replicator project will get underway quickly. Dov Zakheim talked about it on this program on Tuesday. Deborah Lee James is the chair of the Defense Business Board. She was the 23rd Secretary of the Air Force, and she's author of Aim High, Chart Your Course, and Find Success. Madam Secretary, it's great to talk to you again. I mentioned before we went on the air, it strikes me there's probably been no initiative in the history of the Defense Department that the services haven't already started on some level before OSD makes it public. What's your sense of the best way for example, the Air Force, to merge what they're doing already among these types of systems with Secretary Hicks's vision for something like Replicator? Welcome.
Well, thank you. Always a pleasure to be with you, Francis. With respect to Replicator, which, as you said, is small, smart, cheap, autonomous systems, which can be used for any number of things. People immediately think weaponry or autonomous systems that would deploy weapons. And that's true, it could be, but it could also be used for logistics purposes, situational awareness, communications. There's all kinds of uses for these systems. You're right. Each of the services, including the Air Force, is already exploring, experimenting, prototyping systems of this nature. Autonomy and the China challenge has been around for some time now. So there is money already in the budget. There is operations that are already ongoing within each of the services and OSD for that matter. So my belief is that Secretary Hicks will be probably leveraging all of these different sources of money and will be trying to seek out the most promising autonomous technologies that will address the most pressing pieces of the Chinese challenge. So the question is, what are those? So if I were Secretary of the Air Force right now, what I would do is I would be leveraging the process that she has outlined about how they're going to select these various technologies, and then I would be making the case. So I would be working with her Deputy Innovation Steering Group, which she and the Vice Chairman of the Joint Chiefs will be chairing. This is an existing but fairly new group. Doug Beck, the new director of DIU, will be, for lack of a better word, staffing this and trying to drive it forward. And by the way, I'm a believer in this. I think she can do it. I work with her regularly on the Defense Business Board. She is smart. She knows the bureaucracy. She knows money flows. And this is a legacy item, I think, for not only this team in the Pentagon, but for this administration. So I believe they will be holding court, so to speak, and they'll be listening to the services who will be bringing forward their various technologies. If I were Secretary of the Air Force, I would pick a technology that INDOPACOM has perhaps already experimented with, likes and wants, that specifically addresses one of the challenges we foresee for either deterring China today or, God forbid, fighting China in some distant or some time in the future. And then I would also be making the case that the particular technology that I am proposing is ready to scale and scale quickly, because, as you know, she has set out a very ambitious timeline, would like to see this scaled technology in use within the next 18 to 24 months. So I'm certainly, if I'm Secretary of the Air Force, not going to pick something where the technology still has to be further developed or where production isn't ready to get going. So those would be the types of criteria that I would look at, and I would be bringing forth my own money and seeking some additional money that perhaps she would free up from other sources in the Pentagon.
You mentioned choosing something that INDOPACOM has basically already expressed interest in or maybe outright endorsed, my words, not yours. Is it important, do you think, to choose one or two technologies or one or two systems to put forward to promote, evangelize for in that respect, Madam Secretary? Or can there be more than a few and still be able to make the effective case that these are the ones that you should go with?
I think you have to designate that there are a significant few that are your top priorities. There can always be a B list, so to speak, of other technologies should monies become available. Keep in mind, the B list of the Air Force could be a bill player. Who knows if the Navy comes forward with fantastic ideas? Because again, what I believe she will do, there is already, I would estimate, hundreds of millions of dollars in the 23 budget, which is the year of execution budget, as well as in the 24 request. There might not be a budget line item that says replicator. I know she said she's not asking for new money, but there's already autonomy money in there. So I suspect she will use her authority. You can go ahead and move money around for different purposes if it's under the threshold of $10 million without getting congressional approval. So I would expect she might do some of that. Though, by the way, she's a very smart cookie, and talking and consulting with and making sure that Congress knows that, hey, this bipartisan Chinese challenge, it's bipartisan, and here's what I'm intending to do. Stay away from any congressional interest items that she might decrement. But I suspect she'll be doing some of that. And I also suspect she'll be looking for funds, which always come available in areas like foreign currency fluctuation. Sometimes it's inflation predictions or fuel price predictions, recruiting shortfalls this year. When you make predictions about a budget 2 years, 2 years ago, those assumptions don't always turn out to be correct, and money may well become available. So these are the various ways that I think she'll be able to aggregate funds to put toward this important purpose.
Is there an advantage in promoting a particular technology or technologies, or is it even possible for the services to collaborate, to work together behind the scenes to then say, okay, Navy, Air Force, and Army, we all are behind this particular one or these particular ones? Or is that something that's not feasible given the structures and the lines of work on some of these projects?
It's feasible. It is probably not as likely as the way I described it would be. Now, if the services happen to know that this particular technology that they're all interested in, that they're all investing in, is also a top priority of INDOPACOM, that the joint staff would view it as important for the joint warfight, then that is certainly possible. But I think the likelihood is that it would be the top Air Force priorities, the top Navy priorities, the top Army and Space Force priorities, that and Marines, if there are any. And then there would be, these would be looked at jointly. How do they fit into the joint warfight? And again, that would be a call of INDOPACOM. It would be a call of the joint staff.
You mentioned that 18 to 24 month timeline, Madam Secretary. That strikes me as very ambitious for anything of this magnitude inside the department. What are the deliverables that you, were you still there, would consider a success in that 18 to 24 month timeline, up to and including these, some system is working under the auspices of this program?
So the home run hit is that we actually field something at scale within that 18 to 24 month time frame. By the way, 18 months is approximately the end of the administration. 24 months is a little bit beyond that. As I mentioned, legacy items, something that you have done that is impactful that you've left behind for the country. This is an important thing to do. So that would be the home run hit. I would consider it, given that 18 to 24 months is so aggressive, I would consider it, even if it was in production and if it was going to be available even a year beyond that, that would still be huge. It wouldn't quite meet the time frame, but it would still be huge. I think you have to have sort of one or the other or something that you've actually fielded or you're about to field in order to call this a success.
Where would you want to see this program in 9 months to a year in order to say, yeah, I think we can probably make that 18 to 24 month deadline?
I think by then it would need to be in production. You'd have to have factories that were churning these things out. It would have already gone through the prototyping stage. Obviously, the money would have been identified months earlier. The contract, which I presume they will use a contract along the lines of an OTA, which is faster. So they have to get the contracting strategy and the contract actually let months earlier than that.
Madam Secretary, it's great to talk to you as always. Thank you very much for your insight.
Thank you, Francis.
You can read more about the Replicator Initiative in today's show notes, fedgovtoday.com. I know you're super busy. You might not catch all the podcasts and TV shows that FedGov Today puts out. If you want to keep up with everything that we're releasing, you can follow the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your shows. And follow the show on LinkedIn, too, to get the latest updates. Thanks for listening today. Hope you'll join me next Tuesday for the next FedGov Today podcast. And this Sunday at 10:30 on ABC 7 in Washington and the FedGov Today YouTube channel for the next edition of FedGov Today TV.